Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The news of the day, the Nashville Predators have traded defenseman Ryan McDonagh back to the Tampa Bay Lightning in exchange for a second-round pick, and now the Predators are off the hook for his $6.75 million salary over the next 2 years. Joining us now to get his reaction is Adam Vingan. Adam, appreciate you for joining us on short notice today. Just your initial reaction when you heard the Ryan McDonagh trade news.
Piece of business by Barry Trotz. When you consider what the Predators gave up to get Ryan McDonagh 2 summers ago, which was basically nothing. They gave up Grant Mismatch, who, if my memory serves, does not even play in North America anymore, and Phil Myers, who is an AHL defenseman.
Right, who was making... What was Myers' price tag, Adam?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
But it was not nothing. Like, he wasn't making the league minimum, so they actually were able to dump his salary. I think if I remember correctly, it was $2.5 million. I think he's actually a free agent this year, ironically. Philip Myers, yeah. 1.4. So not nothing, but not anything that's going to break the bank. But still, they got that off the books.
Felipe Myers.
Right. Felipe, yes, yeah. as many of us incorrectly called him.
Felipe Myers, actually.
Yeah, Felipe.
But either way, they gave up two players that haven't really amounted to much for 2 years of Ryan McDonagh, and then they just acquired a second-round pick back. So a really impressive piece of asset management by the Predators there. Of course, getting Ryan McDonagh's nearly $7 million cap hit off of the ledger is a big deal when you consider the nearly $12 million in dead cap that the Predators are going to have next season. You know, McDonagh had 2 years left, so the final year of his contract would have coincided with the first year of UC Saros' new contract. So if the Predators decide to sign UC Saros, which I know, well, I don't want to get into that whole debate right now. That's not why you're having me on. But if the Predators were to re-sign UC Saros, that's a significant chunk of cap that they now have to put toward that contract. And, you know, for me, as I was thinking about it, I don't know why I thought about this, but my first thought went to Barry Trotz as Regina George in Mean Girls saying to Lindsay Lohan, "Get in, loser, we're going shopping."
That movie the other day. I recorded it because I could only watch part of it. It was, and I was like, you know what? I've never seen this movie. I've heard a lot of hype about it. I need to actually sit down and watch it.
The greatest film of all time.
You think so? You give it a big thumbs up.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So now I'm really going to hone in on this. I'm going to focus
on the original Mean Girls or the Broadway adaptation that was then made into a film?
The OG.
Which one are we talking about?
Of course. The OG.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rachel McAdams. Who else?
Yeah.
Other big...
Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah. Big cast. Big names.
Lacey Chabert. Put some respect on Lacey Chabert's name. Yes,
excuse me. Legendary Hallmark actress Lacey Chabert.
Amanda Seyfried. Yes. Also in there.
Another one. Yeah, to who's who. Adam Vingan is with us. We're reacting to the Ryan McDonagh trade. You know, there's several different aspects to look at this, but I think that freeing up that money is a big one. And I don't think that Barry Trotz just said, oh, hey, let's just free up the money just to free up the money. I have to think that Barry Trotz has a plan A, B, C, D in place and what he wants to do with that money. We've brought up a few different names, whether it's Marner or Reinhart or Stamkos, or is this, you know, the UC Saros Fund. In your opinion, Adam, what do you think this, you know, 675 over the next 2 years, what's Barry Trotz's plan with that now freed up money?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, one thing he could also do, which is something that David Poyle was reticent to do near the end of his time, is they can take on a bad contract and even accumulate more future assets. You know, if a team is desperate to dump a bad deal in their mind, the Predators have plenty of room to take it, and they can get another draft pick or a prospect or something like that to keep replenishing the cupboard, so to speak. But yeah, when you have nearly $26 million in cap space, or you know, just above $26 million in cap space, it opens up a lot of possibilities. We've talked about Marner a lot. Bringing Ryan McDonagh back makes things interesting in Tampa, because one of their high priced players is going to have to go, especially if they decide to re-sign Steven Stamkos. Now, I'm not sure who that player could be, but a good player could shake loose from the Tampa Bay Lightning. I heard Willie mention before I came on some free agent defensemen that could be available if they're looking to replace Ryan McDonagh with someone younger. Willie did not mention, I know he had limited time, but he didn't mention two defensemen that I quite like, both of whom are free agents who play for the Carolina Hurricanes, Brady Shea and Brett Pesce. If the Predators could get one of them under contract, I think that would be, a really effective use of that space. I think Pesce is 29 and Shea is 30, so you're definitely getting younger than Ryan McDonagh. The Predators are going to be a team to watch this offseason just because of all of that cap space that they do have, and, it blunts the impact of the dead cap, and, Barry Trotz, the world is his oyster this offseason, really, when it comes to making moves on this team.
We're talking with Adam Vingan discussing the Ryan McDonagh trade back to his former team. Now, Adam, do you think this was a deal that, that they had sort of put together maybe a week ago once the season ended? Because it happened so quickly, but under the radar. No one, the guys that usually put this out, honestly, even you, didn't get wind of it. So do you think this is something that has been happening or brewing since the end of the season?
It's a good question. My guess, and this is just a complete guess, is that Ryan McDonagh probably signified to the Predators maybe during his exit meeting after the season, that he wanted to go back to Tampa Bay, and he had a no trade clause as part of his contract. So, he had some say over where he could go. And, it sounds like the Predators did right by McDonagh. We've heard how highly Barry Trotz has spoken about Ryan McDonagh. I think Ryan McDonagh had a much better season this season than he did last season. I think he was more effective in his role. And, it makes sense for Barry Trotz to want to do right by the player, which is a good thing. So my guess is that, and reading some reports from people who are more connected to the situation, it sounds like McDonagh had an interest in returning to Tampa Bay, and the Predators were willing to accommodate that. And as I said, to get a second-round pick out of that, here's an interesting quirk. The Predators now own the Lightning's second-round pick this season, their first-round pick next season, and their second-round pick next season. Because of two of the picks are a product of the Tanner Jeannot trade from last season and then this trade. So I think the Lightning have given the Predators like six or seven draft picks in the past year and a half. Look, Tampa Bay, I heard my friend Eric Erlandson, who covers the Tampa Bay Lightning independently and used to work for the newspaper down there for a long time. I heard him talking about the trade not too long ago, and this is the type of move that signifies to the Lightning players, the Lightning fans, that they're not closing the door on their contention. They're closing their contention window anytime soon. Now they have limited time with how old their players on and how old their players are, and the contract situation that they have. But this is a move that says we're not prepared to take a step back. We're going to keep continuing to compete for a championship. So, the Predators have made out well in that based off of this trade and the Tanner Jeannot trade, getting several draft picks from the Lightning over the past 2 years.
Now, Adam, with that being said, do you think this was more so about production rather than having a guy like McDonagh on your squad that has that leadership or that serial winning sort of DNA. Because, you know, yes, he was a good player for this team, but they need more production if indeed they want to continue to compete with those teams that are above them.
Yeah, well, McDonough is not, I mean, he has offensive capability, mm-hmm. but he is not a point producer from the back end like Roman Josi is. Mm-hmm. And that's why if the Predators want to add more firepower to their back end, that's why someone like Brady Shea, for example, is someone that could do that. Shea is a two-way defenseman. I think he had 13 goals this season on the back end for the Hurricanes, and they've got a lot of dynamic defensemen on that team like Brent Burns and Dmitry Orlov, so Shea fit right in there. You know, Brett Pesce is more of a defensive-minded defenseman, you know, a low-risk, you know, make-the-simple-play type of defenseman. So if they're looking to have more offense from the back end, there are options available to them in the offseason, but, you know, I know how much Ryan McDonough meant to the Predators' dressing room in terms of bringing that leadership, but, you know, this clearly Barry Trotz thinks he has enough in Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, Luke Shen, etc., Colton Sissons. So, you know, they were willing to sacrifice that. And at the end of the day, as much as you want to have as many proven winners on your team as you can, you know, sometimes you might have to subtract one to add to your team in other places. So I don't think this is a reflection at all on the player that Ryan McDonough is, because, you know, for as long as he's been in the league now, he's been a high-quality defenseman for a very long time. I just think when you have the opportunity to shed $6.75 million in cap space and take nothing back, like in terms of money, I think you have to do it.
That's kind of what we've been touching on over the last couple of hours, is it's not a personal move against Ryan McDonough. It's simply a business move. And Barry Trotz is looking at an opportunity, like you said, to shed $6.7 million, get younger, and, you know, free up some salary cap space. If you have that opportunity, especially with an aging player, no matter how great they are, no matter how great of a locker room that guy might be, sometimes you just got to make business decisions. Adam Vingan is with us. Adam, what do you make of the timing of this trade? Because it's not like this is NHL trade season. I don't think any of us were expecting a move, at least of this caliber, at this point in the year. So what do you make of the timing?
Yeah, it is interesting. Oftentimes you see trades like this closer to the draft, during the draft, right after the draft. So you're looking at like late June into the beginning of free agency on July 1st. So, you know, perhaps it's just that they could take care of it. Now, look, the Lightning have a lot of decisions to make. The Lightning have much more pressing decisions to make than the Predators do from a contractual standpoint. So perhaps the Lightning were motivated to get this done sooner rather than later. I heard you mention, you know, perhaps there's a Steven Stamkos factor in this. Maybe Steven Stamkos expressed to Julian Brisebois, the Lightning's GM, hey, if you can get Ryan McDonough back, that might entice me to sign back up here instead of going to free agency. You know, that's just obviously speculation. But, you know, the Lightning are in a more of a time crunch than the Predators are when it comes to dealing with some important contracts. So I'm wondering if that motivated Tampa Bay to get this done. But now it just gives the Predators more runway, more time to evaluate the landscape, and maybe there's another move that could be on the horizon that, again, like this move we weren't aware is coming, that the Predators needed to clear out the space in order to do. So there are a lot of factors that could have played into the timing. But, yes, the fact that it happened, you know, it before Memorial Day, as opposed to when trades in the summer usually happen about a month from now, you know, that's interesting for sure.
It's a great point. And in thinking about it, they're going to have to clear substantial cap space in order to have the room to sign Stamkos, you would think, and still field the rest of the team, or ice the rest of the team, if you want to use that term. So this does give them extra time to do that. Apparently Stamkos has already talked to McDonough, according to Lightning Insider, and this is exciting news for Stamkos. Obviously this would have an impression on him. But Jay Fresh Hockey, he just posted, he's an analytics guy, Adam's very familiar with him, I'm sure, just posted the kind of numbers. McDonough had the most points he's had in about 5 years this past year. He had a great year. Analytics to go with all the intangibles that he brings. But he said, for those asking about the rules surrounding post-deadline trades, this is tongue-in-cheek, of course, Ryan McDonough is not eligible to compete for Tampa Bay in the 2024 playoffs as the team has already been eliminated. So this is not a trade deadline. It sounds like it's almost like a trade deadline deal, but it happens in May. It's
May
really
21st
weird.
May 21st is a known NHL trade day.
Adam, let me throw this at you. You mentioned Pesci and Shea. Those are two really intriguing names. I wonder about the fit for Andrew Brunette's system, what he sees in those guys, and also the lefty shot versus righty shot. That was one of the pieces to the puzzle that didn't work quite right with Yossi and McDonough as a pair because they're both left shots. Pesci is more that, quote, stay at home. He's a right shot, so I can see that. But as you mentioned, he's not a mobile guy. He's not an offensive guy. Shea's more of the offensive guy, but he's a left shot. So I'm curious about how they view that spot because, to me, looking for a partner for Yossi would be high on the priority list in an ideal world.
And I think Shea and Pesci were partners in Carolina. I think that's right. So you would have, you know, you had Shea, the more offensive-minded on the left, and Pesci, the more, quote-unquote, stay-at-home on the right. So from if you're looking for someone specifically to play with Roman Yossi, Pesci would fit that mold better just because he is more of the Ryan McDonough type than Shea. But Shea, you know, if you're looking for a layer of offense on the left side underneath Roman Yossi, I mean, I do think that could certainly help as well. And, you know, I've always really admired Carolina's defense corps. I feel like they're regularly among the highest scoring D corps in the league, you know, very deep. You know, like I said, they added Dmitry Orlov before this season. They had Brent Burns. You know, I'm a huge Jacob Slavin fan. He's completely defensive minded, but they've got a really great D corps. And, you know, if you could snag one of them, I think that would be a bit of a coup by Barry Trotz. But if you're looking for someone to play with Yossi, if you're looking for someone who can complement Yossi on the top pair, Brett Pesci is more of a fit than Brady Shea.
Well, what are your thoughts on Brandon Montour because of the Andrew Brunette connection there?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because he's a right shot, and he's got some skill. So I just kind of look at him and say, I'm curious about that one.
No, it's worth pointing out. And Montour can definitely fill up the net. I mean, he had 73 points last season, 16 goals, 57 assists, and 80 games last year. So he can provide solid play on both ends. You know, and always when you're looking at potential fits for players, you look about past relationships. And obviously, Andrew Brunette is familiar with Brandon Montour. So I'd have to dig in a little bit more, like about Brandon Montour, the player, what he does well, what he doesn't from an analytics standpoint. But yeah, he's another one that comes to mind. I just was paying very close attention to the Hurricanes clean out day the other day and hearing them talk about, you know, they have the Hurricanes, like the Lightning, have a lot of big decisions to make this offseason. You know, Jake Guentzel is an unrestricted free agent. We mentioned Shea and Pesci. I believe Teuvo Teravainen is an unrestricted free agent. Jordan Martinook is an unrestricted free agent. Like, a lot of their key core players are unrestricted free agents, and they're probably not all going to be able to come back, which is where a team like the Predators can swoop in and take a guy that may be, you know, that could be squeezed out of a team with a different cap situation. So, as I said, the Predators are sitting pretty. I think Barry Trotz did a really good move today by trading Ryan McDonough.
Adam Vinken, appreciate you for stopping by, especially on such short notice given the breaking news. Appreciate for stopping by, Adam, and thanks always for your insight.
All right, Willie, just remember that Gretchen Wiener's father was the inventor of toaster strudel. When you're watching,
I did
that
catch
movie
that in the chunk of movie. I saw the first 20-30 minutes that I had to go. I'm like, okay, I've set the table. I know the characters, and I did catch that fun fact.
Yeah, did you catch the fun fact that Brutus is just as cute as Caesar?
No, I did not.
We should just totally just stab
But I have
Caesar.
Read, I yes, did, yes, at least yes. I was supposed to read Julius Caesar in full in English class in the 10th grade. And I think I probably got two-thirds of it. But I got by. Two-thirds to three-quarters. You know, that was pretty good batting average for Shakespeare. You know, the Shakespeare, that the dialect, it's hard to absorb 100% of Shakespeare, right? You just try to get the themes.
Yes. We can't let Willie make fetch happen. That's the most important thing.
We cannot. He keeps trying to make fetch happen. And we're just trying to make his car off happen. Adam, you're the best. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it. Whenever you get to that scene, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. And then you'll be a Shakespeare whiz in no time. Appreciate Adam Vingan for stopping by. Also, this little tidbit put out there by Michael Gallagher of Nashville Hockey Now. After talking to a few people, this is Michael Gallagher. After talking to a few people, the sense is the McDonough trade is a precursor to an aggressive pursuit of a high-end scorer by Barry Trotz.
Who are these people that Michael's talking to?
He did
curious.
Not reveal his sources.
Yeah, but a number of people.
Talking to a few people.
Yeah.
Two, three.
But we do know that Barry.
Is Nick Kieser one of those people?
Could be Nick Kieser.
Could be.
We'll have to consult with the reporter. But we do know Barry is OBB, Open Book Barry. And Barry Trotz will join Stillman and Company today at 3 p.m. So could get a little bit of insight of exactly what that McDonough trade is a precursor for. All right, do you want to hit some Titans OTAs tidbits? Who was there? Who was not there? Which is also very interesting. Also want to continue to get into your reaction to the Ryan McDonough trade. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.